You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Now listening to the Dynasty Rewind.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Dynasty Rewind. I'm your host, Michael Bauer, the best in the business. Once again, back in business, joined as always by my faithful co-host, Nate, Professor Christian. Nate, good evening.
Good evening, Mike. I'm not sure if I wore this sweatshirt last week or not. If I did, I promised it's been washed. If not, then I wore it on a video with Bob. But I just realized that as we were doing the intro. I was like, I definitely wore this sweatshirt with the Buffalo on it recently.
All right. Well, are you a Colorado fan? Is that?
No, it's a Buffalo. It's Yellowstone National Park. Went out there about two summers ago, and it was lovely, wonderful. Got to see the Grand Tetons and Yellowstone. It's great.
Beautiful. I hear that the geyser out there, the water is so hot that you can't go in it. Or you can't, you're not supposed to touch the water around it, right?
Yeah, water is very hot. It's also very acidic. Mm. So there's some areas where if you fell into the water, it would just melt you.
Perfect. So that sounds like that's something that you should avoid. Today we're going to be buying, selling, holding, and avoiding certain players. Nate, you always set me up so good for those segues.
You're welcome.
Let's dive into it here. So we're talking about some players today. And again, you know, buy, sell, hold, avoid. It's that time of the season. Got a lot of people in my DMs through the Patreon, patreon.com/DynastyRewind. Still doing a 7-day trial for free. So come hang out. You know, people ask me, what should I do here? What should I do here? And you know what? I think avoid sometimes is the right way to go, because like I preach to people, if you don't know how to make out a situation, look somewhere else. But Let's get into it. So we're going to start with a player who, I guess, polarizing would be a correct way to describe him. You know, we've been talking about him every year since he's been drafted. But Nate, what are we doing with Atlanta Falcons tight end Kyle Pitts? What are we? And you and I agree on this one. So what are we doing?
We do. Yeah. So I'm holding where I have him, and elsewhere I'm looking to buy. And not that he's super cheap right now. I believe he's tight end 4 on keep trade cut currently. So he's not like, a super, super buy low. But you take a look at the graph on Keep Trade Cut, which I really appreciate how they have the graph showing the value of the play over the last year, couple of years. That. It's great. You can kind of see what's been going on in their career. And looking at his value right now, it's essentially where it was in the offseason last year, like last August, September. So that was with Arthur Smith. We knew who Arthur Smith was. We were going into that season. He was coming off the injury. And his value is just the same as it was in that circumstance. And the circumstances now are so much better, Mike. So much better.
Look, so much better.
Arthur Smith is gone. Desmond Ridder is gone. But listen, this is what he did in that terrible situation. And we expect this new situation with Zach Robinson, offensive coordinator from Rams, to be much better. Look, he was number one in air yards with 1,012. He had 1,110 as a rookie. Last year, he was number one on all tight ends with average depth of target, 11.4 yards. Last year, he was number one in deep targets, 11. Last year, he was first in unrealized air yards, so air yards that he was not able to have a completion on, with 479, which was 5.4 per target. And he has been top five in every single one of these categories, Mike, since his rookie season in 2021. So we're talking about a tight end that with his athleticism really gets down the field. And when we start actually seeing volume go to Kyle Pitts, I think it's going to be extremely lucrative for fantasy football. Even in 2022, when he only played in 10 games, he was still number one in deep targets and unrealized air yards. This guy is just a downfield threat from the tight end position. We don't see a lot of guys like him. We know about the athleticism, but I know it's a couple years in. Let's not let it wear out. He's still a guy we got to go after. If I have TJ Hockenson, I would move TJ Hockenson for Kyle Pitts. Hawks coming off the injury. I think their production moving forward is pretty similar. And a running back, maybe I'm trading if I really need a tight end, Saquon Barkley.
You know, I will say it's funny because you say you'd move Hockenson. Kyle Pitts now gets TJ Hockenson's old quarterback.
It's true.
Kirk Cousins. And we can say that right now, the quarterback situation in Atlanta is better than that of Minnesota, because right now the starting quarterback in Minnesota is Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold.
So, I mean,
it's going to be JJ.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. Hey, he was still tight end 13 on the season last year, so he's on that cusp there, 8.1 fantasy points per game in PPR scoring. I don't want to sell. I'm holding as well. This right here is the exact opportunity that we've been waiting for Kyle Pitts, because we've always said, hey, once Arthur Smith is gone, hey, once they get a good quarterback, here we are. Here we are. I don't want to sell too low on Kyle Pitts because I feel like I just feel like the market for Kyle Pitts is really tough. You know what I mean? If you want to try to buy him cheaper than what people think he's worth, you're not going to get it done. And if you want to try to move him, people are going to try to lowball you. And I just feel like right now, what I want to do with Kyle Pitts is I just want to open my roster. I want to see him there. And I want to know in September, you're going to be in my starting lineup. That's what I want to do. Be free.
Yeah, I think if you're going after Kyle Pitts, he's kind of a hard one to buy right now. Like you said, people are not going to want to move him for cheap. Maybe after the draft, if the Falcons bring in another wide receiver, there might be a slight buy window there. You got to look for the buy windows with Kyle Pitts. Any player who's polarizing is that. A lot of times the owners, managers that have Kyle Pitts on their team, they're really emotional about Kyle Pitts. And, you know, they probably have been invested in holding for a while. So he's a hard guy to go out there and acquire right now. But if you have him, I'm definitely holding on.
For the record, too, I don't think Desmond Ridder was the entire problem. I think it was mostly and I'm not saying he was helping.
See all those unrealized air yards?
But, I mean, look, Desmond Ridder, they gave him a shot. We now know he shouldn't be a starting quarterback in the NFL. I think he's going to have a really good career as a backup quarterback, to be honest with you. And he's just not going to really be fantasy relevant for you. Kyle Pitts is. So I'm holding, you're holding, we're holding Kyle Pitts. Buying low if we can, as Nate said as well. So let's move on. The talk of the town. Nate, he's getting the Kansas City Chiefs bump.
What are we doing? Is.
He's Hollywood Brown. No longer a Raven, no longer a Cardinal. He's a Chief now. Is he the Chiefs wide receiver one? I don't think so. You all know that's Justin Ross. Just kidding.
He's still even on the team.
I think he is, but I could check into that. But what are you doing with Hollywood Brown?
Hollywood Brown. So I just refreshed Keep Trade Cut to see if he had moved up in the rankings since I took my notes. He's still wide receiver 34 right now, but I think he's a little controversial. Some people want to sell Marquise going to the Chiefs, but hey, everyone loves the Chiefs wide receiver. I'm avoiding Marquise Brown, Mike. He's climbing up the value. I've seen Marquise as a Ravens fan for years. I think he's a good player. But I think in the Chiefs offense, you're not getting a like-for-like replacement for Tyreek Hill. We're never going to get that. Stop chasing that. Also, Rashee Rice is there. And Rashee Rice is better than Marquise Brown. And I'm going to talk about that in a later podcast. I'll go into more detail about that. So make sure you stay tuned. But with the value of Marquise Brown continuing to climb, where he's going to be around top 30 wide receiver in Dynasty, there's just too much talent. And I think replaceable talent in the wide receiver landscape that I'm not willing to pay up for that. I know he's on the Chiefs. I know it's going to be exciting, but I would much rather have Rashee Rice and pay up for Rashee Rice than have Marquise Brown.
Yes.
How about you, Mike?
I completely agree with that. And going back to the point, yes, Justin Ross is still on the team, as is Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore, and Cornell Powell. They are all still on the team. And Shai Smith. In case you're wondering.
Wow, Shai Smith made it there.
They're you know, if you look at the Chiefs, their depth just across the board is really not good. It's just, I mean,
they're starting roles.
They do. They're coached well. Their starting lineup is fantastic. Irv Smith, by the way, welcome to Kansas City. I must have missed that.
I did see that.
And LaMichael Pirine is now number two on the depth chart. But that being said, I am holding on to, or I'm sorry, I am holding on to avoiding Marquise Brown, I should say, because the receiver, the Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver I want is Rashee Rice. Okay, the receiver I want is Travis Kelce. And yeah, I'm going to pay up for his ADP over Marquise Brown's, Rashee Rice, that is. Brown did miss four games in 23 and five in 2022, so he's missed some time each of the last 2 years. Yep. There's a couple guys in that range, in his keep trade cut range, that I would rather have than Hollywood Brown. Guys like Mike Evans, Devontae Adams, DeAndre Swift. I think they all have a path to be more relevant this year than Hollywood Brown does. And you did mention the 1.8 to 1.10. I don't know if you could get that. I think, honestly, right now he's in
he's 2-2, man.
What?
He's on the Chiefs. So if I can get a late first, and I'm not moving him for less than late first because he's on the Chiefs. And because he could be productive, there's an upside with Marquise Brown. There's certainly upside, but you go back and you look at the, you know, his stats throughout his career, and outside of 2021, 2022, when he was like wide receiver 22, wide receiver 26 in the season, he's been about wide receiver 40 in a points per game basis throughout his career. He's never been, you know, outside of the one season where he's wide receiver 22, he's never been a top 24 wide receiver in points per game. And he's not doing that consistently. So, you know, I think there's upside there.
I do too.
There's a lot of value in the name, but
I just don't think he's going to live up to what you're going to have to pay to get him right now, which is why I'm going to avoid and look elsewhere. And I think, you know, obviously you feel the same way. So let's move on to our next one. Let's talk about a polluted backfield, you could say. Nate, what are we doing with Cincinnati Bengals running backs, Zach Moss and Chase Brown? I think it's funny too that, saw a report the Dallas Cowboys wanted to sign Zach Moss. They thought his asking price was too high. I think
$4 million.
Yeah, I mean,
they wanted to pay him three. They wouldn't do four.
Like, come on. And the
all in, comma, my ass.
But the funny thing about that is typically throughout the history with Jerry Jones as the owner, the Dallas Cowboys are a team that's not afraid to spend money at all. They've never shied away from that. But you're not going to buck up an extra $1 million for a starting running back. I don't know what they're going to do. I guess Deuce Vaughn season. Be interesting.
Hey, Rico resigned there. Come on, Mike. Rico Dowdle is the RB1.
Fire up the waiver wire, everybody. Let's go. Rico Dowdle, RB1. That would be hilarious.
I called it like 5 years ago coming out of South Carolina. I was like, Rico, this guy's going to be a future star. And look at him. Starting running back for the Dallas Cowboys now.
And they happen to have a star in their helmet, too. So Nate Stradamus over here. Just really racking it up. But you know what? Nate, for me, I'm avoiding this backfield. Like I said before, if you don't know, stay away. This feels like a timeshare. And no, it's not one they're trying to sell you in Myrtle Beach. This is the worst type of timeshare ever. It's a running back timeshare. And a lot of times with things like this, tells me, you see this, tells me they don't believe in Chase Brown enough to let him have full grasp of the backfield. But they also don't believe in Zach Moss enough because they only paid him $4 million a year, which, hey, pretty cheap for a starting running back in the NFL. Nothing against Zach Moss. His career didn't start off the way anybody thought it would in Buffalo. He went to Indianapolis. He got traded. By the way, do you know what that trade was for? Naheem Hines and a fifth-round pick. Ooh, rough. Didn't really work out for either team. Although
that's more than you got to pay to get Justin Fields.
I know. And Zach, look, Moss, he filled in admirably for Jonathan Taylor last year. 183 carries, 794 yards, and five touchdowns. Fantastic. And Chase Brown had some run at the end of the season last year. Over the last 6 weeks, 42 carries, 173 yards, and no touchdowns. But again, it just feels to me like they're not committed to either guy. For all we know, the running back of the future for the Cincinnati Bengals isn't on the roster yet. This could be a one-year thing. It's very possible, right?
I think a one-year thing is expected. You know, from what I've heard, Mike, is, you know, I thought they brought in Zach Moss to kind of be the main guy, and Chase Brown's just the receiving back. And it's kind of like, hey, this is our running guy, and this is our receiving guy, mainly. I mean, there'll obviously be a little bit of both. But there are some beat reporters with the Bengals who were saying that they brought in Zach Moss to complement Chase Brown.
Okay.
Which is a much interesting narrative, because if Chase Brown is the 1A there, he's got explosiveness. He's got really good pass catching ability. I am, to tell you where I am on this backfield, I'm just as a zero RB guy sometimes, or a hero RB most of the time, but I'm usually looking at zero RB targets, the same running backs as the zero RB guys are. And I think both Zach Moss and Chase Brown are good zero RB targets. Those are later in startups. Yeah. They're going to be like late second round picks. You probably could send for those guys right now. And I think that's decent value because there's going to be production out of the Bengals backfield. Now, do I know who's going to get the most production week in and week out? No. I like both these guys for best ball because I think there's a lot of upside, especially if one of them does take over more of the backfield. But so I think right now I'm kind of avoiding this backfield. But as we get closer to the season, if there starts to be a front runner that emerges in this backfield, I will be ready to pounce for like a mid-second. Because if there is a number one running back in this backfield, if it's Chase Brown especially, but I think Zach Moss is plenty talented as well, that's going to be worthwhile.
Yeah, I like that too. I love the zero RB target. I think that's a fantastic way to look at it. But right now, at this point in the offseason, I don't want to try to invest too many resources or capital to try to get either of these guys. I just think that you could do better somewhere else. So I'm avoiding, and you're buying the cheaper of the two.
If I can get him for thirds, like an early third or third plus another third or fourth or something like that, easy money. Because I think there's a lot of value in these guys being on your bench, or even, you know, being your RB3, RB4, if you're a little light at running back, like you're more zero RB. I think there's value there. If you can get in these guys for thirds, smash it.
I'm in agreement there. I don't think you could. Maybe in certain leagues you'd be able to.
Yeah.
But that's where, and this to me, this is a good for the NFL move, but maybe not necessarily a good for fantasy move, unfortunately, for us fantasy players. All right, Nate, so let's get into our next one. And what are we doing with
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
New Jacksonville Jaguars wide receiver Gabe Davis. Look, you want to talk about a guy who he was just a darling for so long. And then it feels like within the last year or so, everyone just started to sour on Gabe Davis. No,
how about it? And I was originally souring on Gabe Davis when everyone was starting to love him. And then as everyone started to turn heel, I started to like Gabe Davis. That's actually usually how it goes. I like the value. So as soon as everyone starts to put him at wide receiver 60 in their dynasty ranks rather than wide receiver 20, I'm thinking, oh, wide receiver 60 as a guy who, while he's not consistent, catches a lot of touchdowns, makes a lot of big plays, has shown that, you know, they trust him in big moments. He's shown up in big moments in big games. And now he goes to the Jaguars, who before this move, Mike, if you remember, I said Gabe Davis could have a Christian Kirk-esque free agency where he gets some good money, goes somewhere, and then maybe takes off a little bit. And I don't know if he's going to be a top 24 wide receiver. And then he goes to Jacksonville, who did the whole Christian Kirk thing a couple years ago.
Yeah, Christian Kirk's team.
So I think there's still some more competition to come in this wide receiver room.
Yes.
I've seen a lot of mock drafts with Brian Thomas going to the Jaguars at 17. 17's kind of an interesting spot. You know, they're obviously not going to get any of the top three wide receivers. So does the wide receiver 4 last into 17? I'm not totally sure. And then once you get to the rest of the wide receivers, do you want to take them at 17? Are they more so like mid-20, late first-round picks? So they're kind of in a weird spot for that wide receiver if Brian Thomas isn't there. But there's obviously plenty of draft capital to go around and plenty of wide receivers to go around in this draft. So, you know, a day two wide receiver goes to the Jaguars, and I'm not really feeling like I'm avoiding Gabe Davis at that point. I think I'm buying low on Gabe Davis right now, Mike.
Okay.
I know. All right. I want to see what he can do with Trevor Lawrence. I think he's a better wide receiver than a lot of people think because he was pigeonholed into a deep threat role with the Bills. I don't know if he can do more than that. We obviously haven't seen it, but I want to give him the benefit of the doubt that he can at least do what he's already done, if not improve.
Nate, do you know who is on the roster for the Jacksonville Jaguars at the wide receiver position?
I know Christian Kirk's there. I know Gabe Davis is there. I believe Zay Jones is there because the 49ers are apparently trying to trade for him, which doesn't really make too much sense to me. But
we just named their starting three. They did sign Devin Duvernay. We got Parker Washington. Yeah,
my boy.
And then your number three left wide receiver, Seth Williams.
Oh, no. Former Denver Bronco.
Former Auburn wideout, Seth Williams. Mm.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Gabe Davis, you know, can a late second, you know, two-thirds or something like that. I think people are pretty low on him. If you're going to have to pay more, if you're going to pay until like an early second, I'm not about that at all. I think mid-second, I want to get something like a late pick on top. I'm probably not too excited about a mid-second, though, to be honest, because I like this draft class.
Yeah, so for me, I'm buying as cheaply as I can, and I want him to be my wide receiver three, if possible. You know what I mean? And we're talking wide receiver three. Hopefully, I have two good studs. He's 25. So he's, you know, maybe the best is yet to come for Gabe Davis. Some guys just need to change the scenery, and this could be the case here. Nice three-year, $39 million deal. Could be worth up to $50 million, Nate. There's nothing wrong with that. And I love value. I love when the community sours on a guy for going out and getting paid in a good situation with a good quarterback. It's a quarterback downgrade from Josh Allen. We could say that. But he's in a good system with a good quarterback, with a head coach that was a quarterback. I think the Jacksonville Jaguars are still an ascending team. You know, we're talking a mid-second to get him. I'm looking at like the 205 to 207 range. And he's valued around players like Cortland Sutton, James Conner, and Quentin Johnston. Would you move any of those guys for Gabe Davis right now?
I think I would move all of them except for maybe James Conner if I really needed a running back and I was competing this year.
Yeah, I mean, I could understand that, but James Conner getting older, Quentin Johnston might just be time to get out on him. Although,
yeah,
in all fairness, the Los Angeles
it's a sell window right now, Mike. That's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, they're giving him every opportunity right now. They traded Keenan Allen. Mike Williams is no longer on the team. And Cortland Sutton, we don't even know who their quarterback is going to be next year. We don't know at all. So right now we could say Gabe Davis is in a better situation than all three of those guys. James Conner was just the age. Yeah, that's what I got there. So let's look at another polluted backfield. I mean, not running backs, but what are we doing with Pittsburgh Steelers quarterbacks Justin Fields and Russell Wilson?
I'm avoiding, Mike.
Yeah,
I think you're avoiding as well. Last time I checked, Fields is still valued over Wilson in on keep trade cut. They're both around like late wide quarterback 20. So like I think Fields was about 26 and Russ was like 29 in the quarterback rankings. So they're obviously not that expensive anymore. You know, Fields, hopefully you're not paying a first round pick for Fields at this point. But a second, you know, if I have to move a late second for Fields or Wilson, if you can get Wilson for a late second, see, I don't even feel confident about Wilson starting because this is the thing, Mike.
I feel like I'm wasting a pick.
I mean, you're going to get something out of it. If you need a starter for the first 6 weeks of the season, then you can lock Russ into that. But after that, they brought in Fields. He's going to start this year. As soon as Russell Wilson looks bad, which is bound to happen on that team with how that offense is currently set up and what he's looked like the past couple years, there's going to be cheers for Justin Fields to go out there. And they paid for him, so they might as well see what they're working with. So Fields is going to get that. Fields is going to start probably 4 or 6 games this year. They're probably going to end up splitting the season between the two of them. And it's going to be ridiculous. It's not going to be fun. It's going to be really annoying. I don't want to pay into that right now. I don't want to deal with that unknown and that variation throughout the season of if my quarterback is actually starting or not. It's already hard enough to find starting quarterbacks in this league. I don't want to go buy a quarterback I know is not going to be starting this at some point this season. And that I feel that way about Russ. You already know about Justin. You know, he's not going to start the season there. They've made it very clear Russ is the starter there. Fields is the backup. And obviously the trade market for Fields wasn't that great. So the NFL must not think nearly as highly of him as the fantasy football community does, which makes sense because Fields, his value to fantasy football has been much more than it has been in the NFL.
It's true. And, you know, is it just me or does it feel like the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback room got worse? Or it's the same, but yeah, still
bad. It definitely got better. I mean, I know you love Pickett, but
I do like Pickett, but it's not that. It's just, did it get better? If it was Russell Wilson in 4 or 5 years ago, then I would
agree. Less of a headache? No.
I don't know. You know, look, imagine this. You know the meme of Pam from The Office? They're the same picture. One is Matt Canada and Kenny Pickett. The other is Arthur Smith and Russell Wilson. The corporate wants you to find the difference. It's the same picture. That's what I feel like we're doing here with these guys, you know, okay, so you want to come in, you want to compete. And have you ever talked to a Pittsburgh Steelers fan? They're going to win the Super Bowl every damn year. It doesn't matter if Duck Hodges is back on the team as starting quarterback. They're going to tell you, it's our year. Here we go, Steelers. Here we go. You think Eagles fans are bad? At least we're not delusional. It's just one of those things. You bring in Russell Wilson, you bring in Arthur Smith, and you trade away Deontay Johnson. Well, what are we doing here? I'm avoiding. I don't know what Russell Wilson has left. And like you said, Fields going for a sixth tells me that the NFL just isn't as high on him as we are. And again, people, it doesn't matter what you think about a player for fantasy purposes. The NFL is going to tell you whether they're viable or not. Okay. The best answer in this case and others, if you don't know, look elsewhere. And I think there's a quarterback problem in the NFL. There's a major quarterback problem in the NFL. And here's why. The guys that could read the field, the guys that could process and put the ball where it needs to be, they're not the mobile, flashy guys. And offense wins games. Yes. Offense also makes the NFL a lot of money. So that's why they're trying to push for these guys that just aren't ready to be quarterbacks in the NFL yet, in my opinion. That's why guys like Joe Milton might get drafted over Michael Pratt from Tulane, when I'd much rather have Michael Pratt.
Toolsy.
And, you know, traitsy and all that good stuff. So that's where we're at with these guys. Nate and I, we're both avoiding. We're looking elsewhere. Yeah,
we're avoiding.
I might rather trade for Aaron Rodgers at this point, to be honest with you.
It's cheaper.
Yeah.
And he's going to be thrown to Mike Williams now. So,
yes, interesting signing there. By the
way, how many games do Mike Williams and Aaron Rodgers play together? Over, under four?
I'm going to go with the over. Yeah.
Let's hope.
It might be 4.5, but that's still over. So
that's why I should have set the line at.
Let's go. Last one here. Nate, what are we doing with new Jacksonville Jaguars wide receiver, Calvin Ridley? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Former.
Former.
They're the same team. They're expansion teams to me. I'm old enough to remember when they became teams. So what are we doing with former Jacksonville Jaguars wide receiver, Calvin Ridley, and new Tennessee Titan wide receiver, Calvin Ridley?
There you go. Okay, Calvin goes on Twitter and he's like, I know you guys know I'm 29, but I'm actually 25. I took that year off and I'm 25. My body feels like I'm 25. That's great, Calvin. You're 29, though, and you're going to be 30 soon.
Ladies and gentlemen, the public school system hard at work.
I don't care what your body feels like. I know what age you are, and I know what happens to wide receivers once they hit 30. Especially ones that aren't Keenan Allen or DeAndre Hopkins. And I know Ridley had some very productive years in Atlanta, but I've never been a huge Ridley fan myself. Just throwing that out there as a disclaimer, I never have been. And now that he left the game of football, came back, was rather mediocre. I know he had an overall good finish for the season, had a really strong start to the year. Unfortunately, maybe ran some not so valuable routes when he was with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Is it really going to change that much when he goes to the Titans? DeAndre Hopkins is there, Mike. DeAndre Hopkins at 32 is better than Calvin Ridley at 29.
You know what he did last year, DeAndre Hopkins?
He killed it.
75 catches, 1,057 yards, and 7 touchdowns.
Ridley wished he had that. Actually,
he wasn't supposed to be the wide receiver one for that team either.
No.
Supposed to be Treylon Burks.
Yeah, he was maybe dead in the water now. But if he moves to the slot, there's something there I might be excited about. But yeah, look, I don't think this is a great landing spot either. I know, hey, you get to put Ridley with a young quarterback, but I'm not convinced by Will Levis yet. And like I said, I don't think he's just the obvious wide receiver one there because DeAndre Hopkins is still there. And DeAndre Hopkins is a Hall of Famer.
He should like, be.
There's a talent difference between Ridley and Hopkins. And anyone saying different is fooling themselves. So as long as Hopkins is there, Ridley is the wide receiver too. And he signed a 4-year deal. That doesn't mean anything to me either, because in 4 years, when Ridley's 33, you don't think they would have traded him, cut him by then or something like that. There's no way he's seeing that full 4 years. So I'm not that excited about this. I'd be selling Ridley for, you know, if I can get a late first, I would love that. I don't know if you can get that right now. Can I get an early second? And maybe something on top of that. That would be great. You know, I think you're going to have a lot of variation in the value for Calvin Ridley, depending on your league and how they feel about the Titans offense, how they feel about 29-year-old Calvin Ridley getting a 4-year deal. So,
yeah. And I will say this, if you don't think DeAndre Hopkins is a Hall of Famer, check this out. In 11 seasons, 928 receptions for 12,355 yards and 78 touchdowns, whereas his former teammate Andre Johnson, in 14 seasons, 1,062 receptions for 14,184 yards and 70 touchdowns. Andre Johnson's in the Hall of Fame, is he not?
Is he? He should be if he's not.
I believe he's going in. Yeah, so DeAndre Hopkins, you deserve to
also,
be
also. Andre Johnson was playing with Matt Schaub, who I liked a lot and actually threw for a lot of yards. But DeAndre Hopkins, you know who he was playing with? Brock Osweiler and all these other random quarterbacks down there in Houston
before Deshaun
Watson out there. Yeah, come on.
Yeah, and he was still super productive. And look, still now, I mean, DeAndre Hopkins might be the receiver that I want on the Titans, oddly enough to say. But that just leaves me to want to sell Calvin Ridley. I really want to see this new offense before I buy into any pieces of it. I do think that he got a quarterback and coaching downgrade, and I don't want to knock the Titans coach, but I want to see him be a head coach before also, I
say. Vrabel was a really good head coach. It's not
he
moved on from a bad head coach.
Yeah, but we don't know who this new head coach. We don't know what he looks like as a head coach yet. So I want to see it before I can believe in it. And I just want to sell a guy who came off a 1,000-yard season and got a new contract. $50 million guaranteed, by the way. He's going to be 33 when his contract is over. And right now I could get younger and more productive because he's valued around guys like Terry McLaurin, who actually knows what his age is. He's like half a year younger. Hey, that's still younger. And he's been extremely consistent over his career. Also with bad quarterback play, David Montgomery, if you need a running back, I'll take him over Calvin Ridley now. Christian Kirk or an early second, I'll take all those things over
Calvin Ridley
right now. So that's what I'm selling for. That's what I'd be looking to do.
I like it, Mike.
Thank you. You know what else Nate loves? He doesn't just like it. He loves it. He loves when you check out our Patreon. Free 7-day trial. Patreon.com/Dynasty Rewind. Hey, we got a lot of fun stuff coming down the pipe too. We're working on our rookie draft guide. I was plugging away at work today doing some data entry because, you know, I love doing that data entry into the guide, but it's coming along really nice. Really excited for that to come together. But head on over to Patreon. Do the free trial. A week on me.
Why not?
Screw it. So until next time, everybody, for Nate, I'm Mike. Thanks for listening. All right, everyone. That is going to do it for us this week. But if you're headed to a game, make sure you check out SeatGeek.com. It's your one-stop shop for all things live events. It offers the best price available. Use the promo code DynastyRewind. You'll get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Don't forget, if you want to play some best ball, head on over to Underdog. It's the easiest buy-in in fantasy football. And it's not having to worry about setting your lineups, man. That's what it's all about. So again, underdog.com. Use the promo code Rewind. A 100% match on your first deposit up to $100. Visit our store over at payhip.com/DynastyRewind. That's where you find our roster reviews. That's where you find all of our manuals and everything like that. Head on over there now. Grab some merch at spreadshop.com. Link is down below. And we want to see you in our community. And that is patreon.com/DynastyRewind. But until next time, everybody, for my faithful co-hosts, Chev Nooney and Nate Christian, I'm your host, Michael Bauer. Be kind, please rewind. Thank you for listening.